welcome to a new podcast. It's called Averse Reaction. Do you guys get it? Verse reaction because it's poetry, but adverse reaction because so many people have a negative reaction to poetry. I think that's brilliant. I can say that because I didn't come up with it. The wonderful people at KVUT did. So I love it. So the title of this podcast is Averse Reaction with Dr. Beebe. I have a 9-episode series planned for you. And the simple belief behind this podcast is that humans need poetry. We need fictional literature in general, poetry, novels, and short stories. But poetry feeds something in us, I believe, something that's distinct in our brains, something that helps us develop awareness and emotions. And so this first episode is just simply an introduction to the series. I have a 3-part agenda here. So how I came to make a podcast, a little bit of support, evidence behind why my belief, why I think poetry is essential, and then an explanation of the organization of the remaining episodes 2 through 9. And I'm pretty good right now, but I'll warn you, I do speak quickly, and I can guarantee the very first thing my mother's going to say when she listens to this podcast is that I should have slowed down. Hi, Mom. But I figure I'm just saving you the trouble of having to speed up, set your podcast on 1.5 or 2 play. So you're welcome. All right. So part one, or as I'm titling it, Who Gave You a Podcast? Pretty much it was open for the taking. The dean said at the University of Texas at Tyler, the dean said at convocation, you know, I'd really like the faculty to work on some podcasts. We have a brand new podcast studio at KVUT. Here's the registration page. Do you want to put forth a proposal? Yes, I do. I did. They let me make a podcast reservation here in the studio. So here we go. I have a podcast. Who am I? Well, as I said, I'm Dr. Beebe. And I'm a professor of English at University of Texas at Tyler. And yes, I will, for the purposes of this podcast, be using my title because I am on campus. I am talking about an area in which I got a PhD in English. I earned it. I'm going to use that title. So yes, it is Dr. Beebe. But no, anywhere else it's not Dr. Beebe, just here on campus and in this podcast. As I said, I'm at the University of Texas at Tyler. Been here since 2001, and I've teach lower division, upper division, graduate, face-to-face, hybrid, online classes. I've created and taught a lot of classes here at the University of Texas at Tyler. I'm an early Americanist, and that means my area of specialty is pre-1865 American literature, but I love all literature, particularly all American literature. And you'll see that in the selections of the poets for this series. And so that's, there was really, well, let's be honest, there was no competition. The dean said, you know, we have a podcast studio. I'd like the faculty to do some podcasts. And, you know, my natural reaction is, okay, pick me. And so I turned in a proposal, and here I am recording in this fancy new lovely studio. But the sound board here seems very, very, very simple. We'll see if by the time I finish, if I haven't, you know, erased the entire thing, we'll see if it is as simple as it looks. part two, to get a little bit more serious, I truly do believe this is a firm belief, and you know, I dedicated my life to the teaching of literature. But I think humans need to read and share, and in some cases, memorize poetry. We all need our favorite poems. And when I say poems, I mean good poetry. And that's a whole debate in terms of, you know, what makes a poem good. We might get into that later. But good poetry gets at the essence of humanity, right? It cuts through all the crap, and it refuses to let readers hide from themselves, hide from their beliefs, hide from their emotions, their dreams. It just cuts through everything. And oftentimes, good poetry puts into words that which many of us can't articulate. We just simply need poetry, and we need that concise explanation of what it is we're thinking or feeling in that moment. And so that's why, I love novels, but that's why poetry feeds something a little bit different for us. And I have medical and psychological studies behind me to prove that. Our wonderful podcast editor, Ebony, will share some of those articles in the show notes. Now, these are going to be popular articles, but in those popular articles, they're going to link to the actual medical studies. But I wanted popular articles. There'd be no paywall. There'd be no difficulty in interpreting the medical studies. That's why those are the articles that I selected to put in your show notes. But in brief, research shows us that reading poetry can give us a sense of connection when we're dealing with grief or trauma. It can reduce emotions that, when in excess, can be dangerous, right? Fear, sadness, anger, worry, fatigue, or loneliness. It can help us strengthen emotional intelligence or empathy. And in particularly in a world where so many people are, because of social isolation or other reasons, are having problems connecting or developing emotional intelligence, poetry can be particularly helpful. It can help us build the language to express our own feelings and goals, maybe in poetry, but just in general, right? The unique sound of poetry, the meter, the rhyme, appeal to our brains, right? Just on just a basic biological level, especially the developing brains of children, right? And that's why you've all read children's books. That's why with children's books, so many of them, if you just take out the pictures and just put all the text together, they're short poems, right? Literary devices that are found in all fictional literature, but more obvious perhaps in poetry, like metaphors or symbols. They activate not just the left side of the brain, but the right side of our brain, right? And help the two hemispheres sort of connect and build these connections in our brain. Practically speaking, poetry can help us increase our vocabulary, which we can always improve. And as I said, I'm an early Americanist, so I'm particularly aware of poetry's ability to help us sort of cross time and cross distance, to understand and enter the world and the world views of people who are long since gone, right? And the worlds in which they lived, say Anne Bradstreet, right? And the 17th century Massachusetts. That's a place that just, in a time that just doesn't exist anymore. But poetry from times and places that we cannot go to for whatever reason help us understand those times and places a little bit. Now, again, reading or sharing poetry can also have been shown to increase memory skills. They're medically proven to reduce blood pressure and heart rate in some people, and it has been used as a tool for pain management, right? So there are all these incredible studies. This is just a brief sort of list of things that I got from reading several different medical studies. And if you're interested, it'll be in the show notes. I often, on my LinkedIn, I share different articles about just this, about the why we need to read poetry, why we need to read literature overall, the marketable skills of that people learn in their English classes and so forth. So if you're interested, you can find me on LinkedIn and find a store. If you go through, what is it called, the timeline or my activities or whatever, you can find a store of going back several years of different articles that I've posted on this topic and others. There's even a journal of poetry therapy. I mean, it's just well established, right? So let's go ahead and put a check beside that. Agenda item number two has been proven to our satisfaction. So let's move on. So what's actually going to happen in this poetry series? So episodes 2 through 9, I have selected a poet, right? Because I believe, again, in each of these episodes, I believe that reading and sharing good poetry is essential, right? But I'm also a literary scholar, and I believe that it's important with good poems, and we are rewarded with good poems when we go beyond appreciation into analysis, right? And if we're going to do a solid and worthwhile analysis, that's then worth sharing with others, right? An interpretation that's worth sharing with others. We have to come from a place of knowledge, right? And oftentimes what that requires is educating ourselves about the context or a context from which we might view, a lens through which we might view a poem. And so an example of a context might be the language, 19th century, the language of flowers, right? There were actual handbooks that talked about, you know, when someone sends you a rose, when someone sends you a peony, when someone sends you a gladiola, right? What does that actually mean, right? The language of flowers, right? And sometimes for a poet, that context is going to be important. If a flower is named in a poem and it seems particularly significant, you might want to take a look at a language of flowers dictionary and use that as a context, right? And also then do some studies in botany and what is so significant about gladiolus as opposed to a rose, right? So educating ourselves on the context, right, might be useful, say, with a poem, with an Emily Dickinson poem talking about a flower. But in some cases, the language of flowers, context, would not be a useful lens through which to analyze another poem. Say, in general, poems by Charles Bukowski, right, wouldn't necessarily be helpful for us, right? So what I would like to do in this series, and you know, what I will be doing in this series, I should say, you have the choice of listening or not to the series. I've selected eight American poets who published between 1650 and 2019. And I selected these eight poets because I like them. That's it. I like their poetry. It was a rigorous selection process. Well, actually was, because I limited it to eight poets, because I love a lot of poets, American poets. But I limited it to eight. But I wanted to span time period and poets who write differently, different topics are important to them. So I think I have a nice span for you, from 1650 Anne Bradstreet to Mary Oliver, who passed away in 2019. That each episode will have three parts. The first part will be an overview of the poet's work and a brief biography. The second part I'm very excited about. The second part I have already arranged and have recording dates all set, so it's going to happen, people. I have eight faculty members from the College of Arts and Sciences here at UT Tyler who have agreed to let me interview them, ask them questions about a context that then I want to view certain poems through. So it might be the context of the Northern home front during the Civil War, or jazz music, or birds, right? Because what I've done with those four poets, Emily Dickinson, for example, almost 1,800 poems. How do I select which ones to talk about? So I selected four poems that would benefit from a similar context, right? From reading them through a similar awareness of, right? And so for Emily Dickinson, I'll be interviewing a historian who's going to be talking about the Northern home front during the Civil War, and we'll be working with some Dickinson poems written during the Civil War that might be beneficially, our analysis of the text might benefit from an understanding, a very specific and expert understanding of the Civil War, the Northern home front during the Civil War. All right, so that's it. It's not complicated. It's a three parts for each episode, one poet per episode, right? It's a poetry podcast, and you have a professor who will then be taking you through the four poems that I've selected, in the hopes of that maybe one of those poems will become a favorite poem for you, that maybe you will go out and read more poems by that poet, that maybe it will remind you of a favorite poem you had years ago you hadn't thought about in a while. You'll go back and pick that up, and maybe some other poems by that poet. Basically, my hope for this podcast is it will get more people thinking about and reading poetry and getting excited about poems that actually speak to them in that moment in life, right? And speak maybe for them in ways that they just didn't have the words for, they were uncomfortable saying, right? That's all I'm hoping for. Now, before I close this introduction, I'd like to read a poem to you. Since the first of the authors that I've selected, Emily Dickinson, for episode two, I, of course, had to go to Emily Dickinson. And I have picked Franklin 533. As most of you probably know, Dickinson didn't title. Most of her poems don't have titles. And so the major editions, the Johnson one from 1955 and the 21st century one by Franklin, we refer to them by number because the Johnson team and the Franklin team put them in what they, based on all sorts of scientific studies, put them in chronological order. So this is Franklin 533, right? So let me go ahead and read this to you. Franklin 533. I reckon when I count it all, first poets, then the sun, then summer, then the heaven of God, and then the list is done. But looking back, the first so seems to comprehend the whole, the others look a needless show. So I write poets all. Their summer lasts a solid year. They can afford a sun the East would deem extravagant. And if the further heaven be beautiful as they prepare for those who worship them, it is too difficult a grace to justify the dream. Now that's just a beautiful poem, isn't it? I wanted a poem about poetry, right, and the importance of poetry. And Dickinson never lets me down. When I was just scanning through, Dickinson, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to read? And so I was reminded of this poem. And I have to admit, I'm in Texas, and I wanted to, you know, when I said reckon, I'm like, I gotta say Texas. I gotta say reckon in the first podcast. So I reckon when I can at all. I don't do a good accent. But, I mean, it sends that message. But looking back, the first seemed to comprehend the whole, right? That is the job of poetry, right? That is of good poetry. The poet aspires to say something, period, right? And to say something that comprehends the whole, but whatever they're saying, in such a way that for anyone who is interested in that topic, experiencing that emotion, who is in that same moment in their own life, it comprehends the whole and makes everything else look a needless show, right? That is the beauty and the power of literature in general, of poetry very specifically. That is the power of poetry. Their summer lasts a solid year. They can afford a sun the east would deem extravagant. And if the further heaven be beautiful as they prepare for those who worship them, it is too difficult a grace to justify the dream. Just beautiful. All right. So I hope you will continue to listen. I hope this introduction hasn't put you off. The rest, episodes 2 through 9 will be tightly focused. Again, part 1, talking about the poet's background, biography, a little bit about the overview of the poems of that poet, and then the interviews by these special guests. You really are going to like these interviews. I already have the questions written and approved by all the 8 guests, so it's going to be fabulous. And then I think you're going to enjoy the 4 poems that I've selected for each of these poets, Emily Dickinson and Anne Bradstreet and Langston Hughes, Mary Oliver. I'm going to forget some. Robert Lowell. Robert Frost, and I've forgotten a couple of them, but they'll be in the show notes. But I've got 8 great episodes planned for you, so I hope you'll listen, and thank you. I will talk to you later. Bye.